Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Nina Kaufman here. Welcome back to Cash Out Big. Hope you're doing well and that business is good for you. So if this is your first time listening, or maybe you've been listening for a while, this is the Cash Out Big podcast, where we're sharing the tips and tools to grow and scale your business so it can really start to function without needing you to micromanage it all the time. And whether, again, you want to sell your business or don't, or just want the options to, hey, maybe take an unplugged vacation without the office calling you every 10 minutes. That's what we're doing here. We want to help and support you with that. And that's why every week we're talking about what you can do to get your business running like a well-oiled machine. Today, we're going to be talking with Lolly Daskal. She's the author of The Leadership Gap. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. And we're going to be delving into what are some of the ways that we get in the way of our greatness as we're building our business. Because often we've got blind spots. And I was talking with a client this week, and you ever had that experience where you're running around like a chicken without a head because you're looking for your glasses? You can't find your glasses, and you spend, you know, an hour looking for your glasses. And then your kid, your spouse, your business partner turns to you and says, "Hey, dummy, they're on your head." Well, sometimes, you know, you just need that mirror. You need somebody else to see what you can't see. And that's part of what Lolly and I are going to be talking about. How can you become more aware of when you might be getting in the way of your business success? Is your business stalling, and are you the reason why? I was working with a client last week, and he was wrestling with a few issues. He runs a corporate training business, and very often he's called on as a professional speaker. So clients want him to deliver because, hey, they're hiring him, but they also want a lot of time in that onboarding process and getting to know him and finding out more and structuring the engagement. And he says, you know, I can't get away from not only doing the presentations, but also everything else that goes along with it. And what do I do? And he was just really stuck. So again, being an outsider, it was easier to see, just to map out, well, what is the process of bringing people in? What do you hear? And this is something for you as you're listening. Make a note of this. Anytime you go through something more than, let's say, 3 or 4 times, it's usually a pattern. It's usually something you can rely on that's repetitious. So one of the things we mapped out with this client were the basic essentials, if you will. I know that's redundant, but the basics of how do clients come to him? What is that information process that they need? And how do you get them onboarded? And going through that step by step, how do they meet you? What do they ask for? What's usually the first point of contact? Do they go to your website? Do they fill out a form? Are they calling? What are the questions that they're asking? Do you find that every time they call up, they want to know, oh, what do you talk about? Or how long is your presentation? Or do you do breakout sessions? If you're finding people asking the same thing over and over and over again, that's a great place and a wonderful opportunity for a system. And that's something that doesn't necessarily, those are the kinds of questions that don't need you, the business owner. So if you're finding in other industries, clients are coming in and they want to talk to you and talk to you directly, there may be a way as you're mapping out that process of how they come to you, how can you maybe have some of those earlier stages handled by someone else on your team so that you are reserved for the highest level contact? But thinking that way, thinking about what are the pieces of the process that I can, in a way, siphon off to others, it's not so easy. It's not intuitive. It's not what you're used to. You have a pattern of behaving and working with clients and prospects and bringing them in. You know, there's a great saying, you can't read the label when you're inside of the jar. You know, think about it. You're inside your business. It's hard to see the way things are actually moving and coming together unless you have an outside pair of eyes. And that's often where leaders get tripped up, in that they're used to their patterns, they're used to the ways of being, and it got results up to a certain point. So maybe more of that means you get more results. Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And that's one of the important things we're going to discuss with our guest today. And I'm so excited to have her here. Lali Daskal is one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches in the world. Lali developed a proprietary leadership program to really help leaders who want to not only enhance their performance, but also make a meaningful difference in their companies and their team and in the work that they do. Her writing has appeared in Harvard Business Review, Inc.com, Fast Company, Psychology Today. And as I mentioned, I'm so excited, just devoured her book, The Leadership Gap. And we're going to talk about what gets between you and your greatness so that you can build and grow as a business owner, a business leader, and helps you create the kind of company that really gets results. And we are just delighted to have Lali here on Cash Out Big. Lali, thanks so much for being with us today.
What an honor it is to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you know, you have this wonderful book, The Leadership Gap, and I have to confess that I think I read it almost in one sitting. It was just, it was like a delicious, delicious meal. And I wanted to apply it very often to small business owners, because usually when a business plateaus, the first place that small business owners look is not at themselves. They're looking at the team, they're looking at their services, they're looking at their clients. What have you found gets them to perhaps shift that focus and start by looking inward?
What a great question, and I'm so happy that you brought that up. Most of the time, when a business is stagnant, when a business is not able to take themselves to the next level, when a team isn't working, most of the time people look on the outside. And what I have been doing for over three decades is I have been asking the question, who? Who are you being? Because everything starts from within and everything starts with the leader. Because people emulate what the leader is doing. And the way that you know that it has to go back to you, has to go to who you are, is when things are not moving forward, when you can't scale, when you're not getting the results that you want, and you feel you could do better, but you don't know what to do. And those are little clues that you need to be asking yourself, who am I being? Instead of the question, how do I need this to change? When do I need this to change? Or why am I doing what I'm doing? Those are the wrong questions to ask yourself when you are stuck, when you're not challenged, and when you know you can become something better than you are today.
Wow, great. So your book sets out of seven different archetypes, sort of archetype pairs in terms of leaderships, And so do business owners have to be great at all of them? I mean, how, you know, it's that concern of, well, I can't be great at all of it, so I'll be great at none of it, and therefore they stay stuck. Can you talk to us about that need to be all things to everyone?
So that is also another great question. The thing that my archetypes are based on is virtues. Are you going to say to me one day, Lali, I don't need to be honest. I don't need to be trustworthy. I don't need to be loyal. I don't need to be courageous. You would never say that. So the thing about this system is they're based on virtues that we must have, not only to be a great person, but to be able to be the person that does something significant. The person that does something significant, we remember them for their virtues more than we remember them for their competence. We don't say, oh, wow, he's really good at that. No, we say, wow, he was compassionate, he was honest, and he was the kind of person that had integrity and loyalty and trust. So if you have these virtues right, you will have your business right.
So that's really thought-provoking, because so many business owners might focus more on the, all right, how do I market? How do I serve my clients? And yes, I'm going to serve my clients with integrity, but they're looking more at the nuts and bolts of that revenue stream, and you seem to be looking at it from more of a values perspective.
Absolutely. It starts from within. The truth is, people don't leave companies. They leave leaders. They leave bosses. They leave managers. So you have to get yourself right.
So how, with all that's on the shoulders of small business owners, you know, they usually don't have 100 people to farm things out to. How can they balance the need to, I think you call it the explorer. You set the direction from the top, and yet you shouldn't be too controlling. You need to allow for others to provide feedback so that collectively you're creating a sense of best practices for the company. How do you do that? How do you reach that balance?
So the first thing is an awareness of what you just said. You have to ask yourself, am I the person that's controlling and manipulating everything and maybe I'm exploiting others? Or am I the person that's allowing the right people on the bus to do their right job? The best thing that a person can do is figure out what they're really good at in their skills, do what they need to do, but then hire others to do the missing parts of who you are. We don't need to be everything, but we need to know what we're good at. When I talk about my book is not talking about in strengths and skills. It's about strengths and virtues. So even once you know your virtues, then you can talk about the skills that you have. Then you can talk about how you're going to make decisions, how you're going to lead, how you're going to inspire people. So there are two different things that we're talking about. So if you're asking me, how does a business owner know what to do, what are his strengths, and what he needs to allocate and delegate? So that's, in a way, he needs to figure out, or she needs to figure out, what are her strengths, and what can she then outsource to someone else?
Mm-hmm. Right, very much so. And how receptive have you found business owners to be when, really, I think what you're asking them to do is to reflect on themselves and their leadership in a very different way, especially for those who have been much more seasoned and in the trenches for a longer period of time?
Absolutely. But most of those people that come to work with me are coming to work with me not because they're doing well. They're coming to me because they're not doing well, because they're stuck. They're not able to take themselves to the next level. Their business is not moving in the direction that they need to move. And they always say the same thing to me, Nina. They go, okay, I want the system that you taught that company because I saw what you were able to do. I want the same thing. Give me the process, give me the best practices, and I'll do them. Just tell me what they are. And I say, it doesn't work that way. I can give you the processes, I can give you the best practices, and I guarantee you'll fail. They go, what? I go, because it starts with you. Once we get you right, I can give you the process. Because think about it this way. If I give you a process to work in, and then you say to me, I don't know, I can't do that. I don't think I'm smart enough to do that. Right? Where does that come from? It comes from you. And that's actually one of the leadership gaps that I talk about in my book. It's you, when you feel like an imposter, when you suffer from the imposter syndrome, it doesn't matter what I tell you, you'll feel self-doubt, you'll feel insecure, you'll feel you're not smart enough, not good enough, or you need permission, or whatever it is that you need. So it doesn't matter what I give you. So we have to get you right so you can get the business right.
And that's a great point, because reaching that upper limit is often a challenge when expanding and growing a business. You know, the owner's taken it up to a certain level, but they want more, the employees want more, and the customers may be asking for more, but the owner may not know how to get there. So how do owners grow into something greater, or how do they know when it's time to say, I guess I need to turn it over to someone else?
Well, depends what we're talking about. Are we talking about, if you don't mind clarifying, are
sure.
we talking about their leadership, or we're talking about a skill?
Let's talk about the leadership part of it. Because to grow very often means you can't be the micromanaging lunatic you were when you first started the business, and that you need to expand to a larger team. And as you say, hire the people who have the skill sets that you don't.
Right. So in my book, I talk about this exact story. I tell in a story about what you're talking about. There was this leader who thought he had, you know, a great company and people really liked him. But the truth was, they couldn't stand him. They were leaving left and right. When they saw him coming, they didn't want to talk to him. And he was so confused about, he thought his heart was in the right way. He wanted to grow things and expand things. They were making money, but nobody was happy. And he didn't understand what was wrong. And I said, we have to look in the mirror. What is happening within you? What message are they getting from you? And then it's important to see how you're perceived. Sometimes you learn a lot about yourself by the perception of what others think about you. And what others thought about him wasn't very nice. And it was hard to swallow, but he did the work that he needed to do because he didn't see himself that way. And sometimes one of the things that we have to remember is if there's something that we don't like about ourselves, and we think no one knows that, think again. Because I believe what we don't own about ourselves ends up owning us. And so if you're feeling insecure, if you're feeling you're not smart enough, if you think you're not creative enough, if you think you don't have the answers, but you think you're faking it till you're making it, it'll catch up to you and people will know that person's not authentic. He's not being transparent. And it causes a rift and it ends up costing the business.
So that's a great point. And for those who haven't yet had a chance to read the book, The Leadership Gap, can you tell us what was it? What did that business owner discover about himself that was turning people off? Because that might be very instructive for some of our listeners.
So this particular story, there are many stories in the book that are quite profound and they can take great learning lessons. But this particular story was a man named Michael. Michael prided himself on being a truth teller. Tell me the truth and always the truth. He was like standing on a soapbox. Truth was very important to him. And people felt threatened. They felt like something was wrong with him. Like, why is he concentrating on the truth, the truth? It's one thing to be truthful, but it's another thing to, are you telling me the truth? Are you telling me everything that I need to know? He was just constantly doing it and badgering people. And people were leaving his company left and right. And so the chairman called and said, get this person right or else he's out. Mm. And so when I met Michael, you know, he told me the first couple of hours, it was like 3 hours when I first met him, the first conversation, guess what? He told me about the truth. Lolly, I'm all about the truth and I want people to tell me the truth. And when he stopped ranting about the truth, I just looked at him and said, have you ever lied in your life? And you see, it was very quiet. There was a real pregnant pause there. And then he looked at me like he wanted to kill me. But, you know, he was upset with me. He didn't like the question. And I remained quiet. I didn't want to make him comfortable. I wanted to keep him in that uncomfortable space because I don't think anybody had ever asked him that. And he looked at me and he said, yes, I have. And I lied. He was a man in his 50s. He said, I lied when I was 18 and a half or 19 years old. And I made myself a promise that I would always tell the truth if I wasn't caught in that lie. And in the book, I talk about what was his lie. I don't want to talk about that
sure.
Right now. But the thing about that is he thought he had gone past that he was keeping his promise, but it was owning him the promise. Everything was getting in the way because he had to be a truth teller. And the first thing I told him to do after he told me the story was, you need to tell people that story. People need to get to know who you are and what you're about and what's been owning you and the baggage that you've been carrying. Let them understand you. They'll stay with you. Right now, they don't want to have anything to do with you because they don't get you. They don't understand you. And so the story goes that he did tell them and they did embrace him and it was a whole different culture. I mean, now that company is thriving and they actually laugh. Will you tell me the truth? It's almost become like a joke. But he's relaxed and he's more engaging. Mm-hmm. Actually, his marriage improved, his business improved, the relationship with his children improved. It became a whole life improvement by just telling, just getting the baggage out, just saying what was really in his heart.
Well, it's interesting because there's a phrase in the personal development world, you're only as sick as your secrets.
Ah, yeah.
And it sounded like that. Yeah. That was something that was eating away at him and made it far more difficult for him to see anything other than through that lens.
But we shouldn't kid ourselves. We all have this on a certain level. We have something about ourselves that maybe gives us the chip shoulder or makes us defensive or triggers us. And we have a way of being. And I call that the leadership gap. If we're not aware of it, it can really end up costing you not only in your business, but in relationship, your leadership, your business, your everything that it affects everything in your life.
You know, I'm glad you phrased it that way because an important thing for small business owners is the issue of trust. Whenever I'm talking to my clients about hiring, expanding the team, very often I hear, well, you know, I'd really like to, but, you know, it's just so tough to find the right person, or I don't know if I could trust someone with the financial things or the very, very sensitive confidential information. And then they end up creating this self-fulfilling prophecy of stuckness within their company. So you do talk about trust in the book. So can you speak a little bit about what business owners can do to better cultivate a sense of trust? You use the Hebrew word batach, of trust in others and perhaps trust in themselves.
Absolutely. So interestingly enough, if you don't trust people, every decision that you make will come from mistrust. It affects everything that you do. So the first thing, it goes back to the who, right? It comes back to who are you being? Are you being someone who doesn't trust? And if you don't trust, what do you need to leverage within yourself to learn to trust? So I say, work it out. Find out what are the triggers within you that makes you not trust. Once you know what they are, and they tend to show up, they do tend to show up all the time, but the more you're able to deal with it, the less prominent it becomes. So the more you recognize, oh, I need to make sure I can trust her. I have to make sure they can be on my team. So the thing about that is that I always tell people that trust is a very complicated thing, that there are a group of people that the only way they will trust is if they earn trust, right? You have to earn my trust. Mm-hmm. Then there's a group of people that trust until they get, you know, hurt. And then they say, okay, now I don't trust you. Whatever it is in your business and whatever category you fall under, know that it's affecting how you lead and how you run your business. If it is costing you your business, then find out what those triggers are, because the best way of trusting, and I talk about this in the book, is to be the kind of person that you could be careless enough in who you are that the person gives you the benefit of the doubt. That kind of trust is the ultimate kind of trust, that even if you mess up, and even if they mess up, you say to them, I know they had good intentions, let's get this right. If you can get to that kind of relationship with someone, your business will thrive. So work on yourself when it comes to trust. Learn what your leadership gap is when it comes to trust, and take your trust to the deepest level of where you can be careless with someone.
You know, and I do want to clarify, I found that actually a little jarring in reading the word careless, because it has such a negative connotation, that somehow you were sloppy, you were not paying attention, but you're using it in the sense of carefree.
Exactly. Careless enough to be carefree enough to be your authentic self, that even if you mess up, even if you make a mistake, even if you've done something wrong, someone gives you the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And also, as a business owner, even if you mess up, that you'll find the resources, the way to fix it, that none of it is ever fatal. So in your experience in the clients you've worked with, what have been some of those trust triggers, just as an example, so we can keep that in our heads?
So interestingly enough, it's as individual as the person, but sometimes, you know, people have been hurt in their lives. They've been taken advantage in their lives. You know, they hired someone and then the person didn't say what they were going to do, or someone doesn't follow through in the way you thought they should follow through. So all of a sudden, you have this mistrust. But I think I've seen, not I think, I have seen great leaders who come in with the energy and the persona of, I am going to trust you. And now I want you to step up to that plate. Show me that I can trust you. I trust you. Show me how much I can trust you. And I've seen that really work within teams. They thrive. I've seen it work in small businesses, because now people feel compelled. And I think it's the best way to be, but we have to first work on ourselves, that we can come to that point of where we let people know we will trust them.
Sorry, I just took a moment to reflect on all that, because I'm both trying to facilitate the interview and listen and digest all of the wonderful things you're sharing with us as well. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. What I want to dive into, you have a wonderful story in the book of the chef and owner of a restaurant in Tokyo. And the reason I love it is that a lot of my clients are in the marketing and consulting, creative services arena, where they really do see themselves as someone who relentlessly pursues perfection through the craft. Yeah, they came into their business because they loved the work. But now they find, if they're going to grow, they have to be more like a CEO, and they're not ready for that. in your experience, how are business owners able to, if not make the transition, incorporate that new CEO thinking and approach while they're also honing their craft?
So to me, that's a two question in one. So
it may well be.
So the first thing I want to answer is about the craft. When you talk about the sushi maker in Tokyo, Jiro Uno, one thing about him that is so outstanding is if you go to any street corner in Tokyo, you can get sushi anywhere, right? So how does one stand out as a small business owner? How does one be the person that gets 5 Michelin stars? How does one stand out as the best restaurant in the world? How does a restaurant have every president make a pit stop in their restaurant when the restaurant is in a subway station, right? Mm-hmm. How does that happen? And it's one word, it's integrity. That means that everything that he does and everything that his business stands for and his craft is about is going the extra mile. And that means the rice that he makes, the fish that he picks, the way he sets the table, how many people he serves, who he, you know, how many people can sit at the table. Everything is thought of and it's done with excellence, not perfection, because there's no such thing, but done with excellence. The best rice, the best food, the best this, the best that. And when we do that, most of the time, we become the business that has gone the extra mile. And trust me, at the extra mile, there's no crowd. Mm-hmm. When you do everything with integrity and excellence, you will stand out. So if you think you have a business that everybody else is doing the same business, stop talking about the marketing. Take it back to the craft. Take it back to the value of what you do and how you serve and how you engage and how you interact and how you lead, and make sure it is excellent and laced with integrity. The second part that you asked me about is how does someone step up to the plate to be the CEO, right? How does someone say, you know, I need to be the leader? Again, it takes us back to how we started this conversation. If you don't believe that you can lead, you will never be a leader. I believe that every single person has greatness within them. I believe that every single person that I've ever met is a leader. Because for me, a leader is a person that is impacting someone and is making a difference in someone and is doing something significant. Now, someone might be thinking that you have to go out and change the world. That's not a leader. A leader can be the mother, the father, the sports coach, the person that smiles at you, the person that does something to impact you. So leadership is within all of us. In order to be the CEO of your organization, of your company, of your small business, is that you first have to own it. You first have to believe that you are the leader that you need to be. And if you're not, read The Leadership Gap. Find out what is keeping you from that. But the moment you own it is the moment you stepped into your greatness.
And how do business owners, as they say, yes, I am ready and I do want to lead, balance that time and that trait of being the artisan with scaling their company so that there's an opportunity for growth? Is there a place for those two concurrent thoughts and thought patterns, or do they have to give up one or the other?
It has to be an integration of both. You can't be one without the other. You have to be the visionary. You have to be the creator. You have to be the innovator. It's like, I always tell my clients, you have to live in the present, but you have to have one foot in the future. You have to be thinking about the future. You have to be thinking about how you can innovate, but you have to be very present in the moment. And I never use the word balance because there's no such thing as balance. I know as a single mom, I had 3 children, I was working and I had it hard. And the thing is, I never found balance, but I found integration. That means that I was doing everything, but whatever I was doing at that moment, I was doing at my best. And so I was paying attention and being focused in the task at hand. And I would allocate time for visioning. I would allocate time of reading. I would allocate time for growing my wisdom. you have to understand something. We are not one-dimensional. We're three-dimensional. We can't just be doing one thing and expect to be successful. So what will it take for you to be in the present, but then still think about growing? So you have to be all of it, and you have to integrate all of it.
Amazing. And so, and thank you for that, because that kind of brings us back to where we started in looking at those, but you set out as the seven virtues, in a way, the seven different archetypes. How do we reach toward being our best self, and our business ends up being just one expression of that? That's often a challenge for business owners who get so caught up in the day-to-day that it's hard to pull back and make that time for the bigger picture future thinking.
Well, interestingly enough, I am very busy, and they always say give a big project to a busy person. But the thing about me is that I've learned that in discipline, you have freedom. So I'm very disciplined about what I do. I read between the hours of 4:30 and 6:30 every morning so I can read a book. I have a ritual at night that I do in order to ask myself, how can I be better tomorrow than I was today? We need to make time for this. If you don't make time for it, then you can't blame anybody else why your business isn't growing and why your business is not where it needs to be. The only person that you can be pointing at is yourself. Make the time to do what you need to do. Do the work that you need to do in order to be the best version of who you can be.
Great. So as we wrap, in addition to obviously reading The Leadership Gap, and you say do the work, what are maybe some of the first 1, 2, 3 steps that business owners can start to think about, either start to develop for themselves as a ritual? What have you found has brought the greatest transformation to some of your clients?
And it's brought the same transformation for me. I don't tell my clients to do something if I don't do it myself. So the first thing that I do is about expanding and growing is I read as much as I can on everything that I can in order to grow my mind. You have to work that muscle. Not only do you have to work out your physical aspects, but you have to grow your mind. What I always say to myself, I want to know more than I knew yesterday. And so number one is reading as much as you can. Make time to read. Number two is make time to be grateful. And that's also very important, because most of us are thinking, what don't I have? Where do I need to go? And again, being present, because I talked about being present. One of the things about being present is really looking at what you have now and being grateful for it, because the more attention you pay to abundance, the more abundant you feel. If you're going and saying, I don't have enough money and I don't have enough this and I don't have enough that, you will have not, it will be true. You won't have enough. But if you say, this is really great, I have enough, I can do this, I can do better, and you have gratitude for what you have, it only expands. So the first thing was reading. The second thing was gratitude. And the third is find someone who is doing what you want to do and is already doing it for a while, and either ask them to be your mentor, ask them if you could have coffee with them, learn from someone who is doing it and who you admire, so you don't have to keep making the same mistakes, because they've made it already and you can learn from them and save you a couple of years.
Wonderful. Terrific. But Lolly, there is so much wisdom in here, not just in the book, but in this very short conversation around our virtues. How do we step into something greater and bringing that leadership to all of the aspects of how we're growing our business, not just the nuts and bolts of it. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Nina, it was a real privilege. Thank you so much.
And thank you for tuning in and listening to Cash Out Big. Did you get something from this episode? If you did, I'd love to ask a quick favor. Please rate and review the podcast for us. Go to businessexponential.com/iTunes and click on ratings and reviews. We want to get the show in front of more great listeners like you and spread the word that yes, it is possible to cash out big and have your business generate real wealth, real freedom, and a real legacy. There are millions of service business owners in this country like you who need to hear that message and need that encouragement. Will you help us do that? So please go to businessexponential.com/iTunes and rate and review. Thanks so much, and we'll see you on the next episode of Cash Out Big.